Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It's one thing to agree that God has a perfect will for each of us. It's quite another to say we're sure what that will is. We're learning principles to guide us in understanding God's will. And today, we'll hear principles 5, 6, and 7. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues the series on the marriage puzzle, why commitment can do what love can't. Listen now for the conclusion of the puzzle of the will of God.
Number 5, doing the will of God is not doubt-free. It's not doubt-free. It's not as if to say, well, all of our decisions can be made with 100% certainty. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the church in Corinth is criticizing him because he planned to come and then he changed his mind. And Paul is defending himself and saying, when it comes to Jesus, it's not yes and no, it's only yes. What he's saying is that the important thing is the gospel is to be preached. But here's the mighty apostle Paul changing his mind because he's not sure exactly what the mind of God is. Oftentimes we walk with God and we have to make decisions. I mean, you know, you can't endlessly sit on an opportunity to leave Chicago and go to Atlanta. They give you 2 weeks to decide. You can't do that forever. You have to decide. And sometimes we make decisions with trepidation and misgivings. But as we submit it to God, we do that trusting God. And my experience has been after we make a decision like that, then God begins to confirm it in this way, in this way, in this way. And you look back and say, I wonder why I agonized so much over this, because it's so clear that this is what I should have done. You know what? It's hard to trust, but that is the best policy. I'd rather trust somebody who can see the future. You should always trust him. Number 6, the will of God is often found not by walking so quickly, but rather by waiting. Now, this one needs explanation because it says, they who wait for the Lord, my sole expectation is from you. I wait before the Lord, the psalmist says over and over and over again. Now, don't misunderstand. When I say that we should wait before God, I do not mean passivity. J.I. Packer tells the story of a woman he knew who never got out of bed until she felt led of the Holy Spirit to do so. And then after she got out of bed, she needed to feel led before she put her socks and shoes on. That's just silliness. That's not what it means to wait on God. Some of you are maybe looking for employment, and you've got no resumes out there. You've got nothing going on. All that you're doing is you're saying, I'm waiting on God, which is another way of saying I'm doing nothing. That's not what the psalmist means. What the psalmist means is you're waiting on God with a sense of expectation, a willing obedience. You're not manipulating. You're not panicking. But you're waiting. But you're working while you're waiting. And you're investigating while you're waiting. Because what you want to do is to walk with God, and you're trusting him to guide you. Eager dependence on God. Number 7. Oh, this is such good news. Could you handle a little good news today? You know, you watch television, it's all bad news. Well, here's the good news. The will of God encompasses our mistakes and our regrets. It encompasses it. God's adequate for it. You look past and you say, well, you know, I got off the trail. Like the old saying goes, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. So you say, well, you know, I made these wrong decisions, and one wrong decision led to another, and that led to another, and that took me to a part of my life where I didn't want to go, but I was in a box, and I made that. Listen, God is bigger than all that. Joshua does not ask the counsel of the Lord. He doesn't pray about his decision with the Gibeonites and believes their story, and then they're stuck with the Gibeonites. Because blessed is he who swears to his own hurt but doesn't change. So Joshua is stuck with the Gibeonites. Does God say, well, you know, that's it. You know, I'm pretty well through with you. You didn't ask my counsel, and so go ahead and live with it. Yeah, God says that maybe, but then he says something else. I'll make the Gibeonites a blessing to you. And they were hewers of wood and carriers of water, and then they ended up going back and helping build the temple. You know, Adam and Eve in the garden, is there any chance that Adam married the wrong one? Notice this, he did blame her even though he didn't have that chance. You know, the Lord, Adam says, the woman whom thou gavest me. If you had led me a little better, God, I wouldn't be in this mess. So, you know, they mess up, right? In paradise. They mess up. What does God say in chapter 3, verse 15? He says these words. He says to the serpent, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed will crush you on the head. And all that you'll be able to do is to nip his heel. It's a contrast of wounds. First prediction in the Bible that Jesus was coming. And Jesus was going to come in the middle of a world broken with sin, broken with stupid decisions, foolishness. And Jesus was going to come and straighten that out. And he still straightens it out because God is a redeeming God. True story. Nice Christian girl meets boy. In Christian school. They get along very well. They take a long trip so that she can introduce him to her family. They're on the way back, and it's getting late, and they decide to spend the night, and of course they don't have much money, and so his intention is that they stay in the same room. And there's a check in her spirit that says this isn't right. What she should have done is to holler and say, no, you go ahead and use the room, I'll spend the night in the car. But many women do not have the power. We need to empower them to make those right decisions for reasons that will become clearer in a future message. So they spend the night together. Later on, he confesses that the reason he did it is he said that I knew that if you slept with me, you wouldn't say no to me when I asked you to marry you. And that's right. You have a relationship like that, the person that you have a relationship with has power over you. It's called a soul tie. It's huge. It'll either end in anger or end badly in other ways. It's inevitable. Well, anyway, she now feels an obligation to get married, so she wrote me a long letter telling me this story, and then later on I met the couple. And she is planning her wedding with shame and regret. Isn't that awful? Day that's supposed to be a day of happiness. She said she was like a robot, just doing what needed to be done, putting all of her emotions on hold. Well, they have a few rough years of marriage for various reasons. But I'm telling you this story because it has a happy ending. They're in Christian work today. And they're serving the Lord in a very responsible position. And after she gave me the letter and I read it, I contacted her and said, I'd like to meet your husband. I'd like to see this guy that you married back then, with your marriage having begun so badly. It was great to see them. And too great to see that they're happy, they have children, and God is using them mightily. Why? Because God is a redeeming God. Aren't you glad that He is? He's a redeeming God. I think you ought to clap there if you're awake. If He weren't, where would we be? You're here today, and I don't know what your need is. You're listening by whatever means. The fact is that God is a redeeming God. Would you come to Him? Would you finally get dead honest? Would you say, "Not my will, but yours be done"? And would you trust Him? Not when the mess gets better, but in the middle of your mess and your decision making. And trust Him all the way home. Let's pray. Father, guide us in all of our decision making, we ask. Guide those who are unmarried, guide those who are married. Help us to seek your will alone. And may we say from the bottom of our hearts, all for Jesus. We want to give it all to you today. Help us to give it up and to trust you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You know, as I listen to this message, I couldn't help but think also of those of you who are divorced. You may be asking yourself the question, can God still use you? Can He still bless you? The answer is yes. I don't know the cause of your divorce. I don't know if it was biblical or unbiblical. That's not for me to decide, of course. God knows the circumstances. But God finds us where we are. And let us remember, as emphasized, He is a redeeming God. He redeems sins. Not by blessing those sins, obviously, but by forgiving them and using us in spite of our disappointments. So I want to encourage you today. I want to give you hope and to recognize that the gospel of Jesus Christ that we preach to so many is transforming and hopeful. But you know, we could not do what we do today were it not for people just like you. We have hundreds of partners, and they enable us to continue this ministry through their gifts, through their prayers. Could I encourage you to do something today? Would you consider going to moodymedia.org? That's our website, and I'll give it to you again in just a moment. Or you can call us at 1-800-215-5001. I'll also give you that number in a moment. But when you do that, you can become an endurance partner. That's somebody who stays with us, who becomes a part of the family, who supports this ministry regularly with gifts and prayers. Go to moodymedia.org or call us at 1-800-215-5001. Become a part of the family, because this message of redemption needs to get to hundreds of thousands.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding The Puzzle of the Will of God. Another in a series on The Marriage Puzzle. Next time, another puzzle. This time, the puzzle of your needs and conflicts. The Marriage Puzzle series can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.